All right, well, let's continue our reading then in Psalm 119, verses 25 through 48. Please turn with me in your Bibles there. So we've covered sections Aleph, Bet, and Gimel. Three more sections this morning, and then, Lord willing, three more this afternoon. Dalet, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Hey. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Vav. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So we begin in verse 25, and that octet, those eight verses there that make up this next alphabetical section in the psalm. In the first portion of this section, then, notice the recognition of the psalmist regarding his own desperate estate. My soul cleaves to the dust. Cleaves to the dust. Dust there standing, I think, as a very strong representation then of death. Right? Death. It may be that he is referencing the prostrate condition of the serpent, right? That he's going to eat dust all the days of his life. I think more than that, David here, I'm going to say David, recognizes that that apart from the mercy of the Lord, apart from his salvation, that the only thing left for us is death, and that an eternal death. So my soul in me, in myself, my soul cleaves to the dust. And notice that there's a cleaving there, right? What happens when you take apart things that are cleaving? They rip, they come apart, not with ease, but with some force, right? And so David is also recognizing here that we don't part with that natural estate lightly, do we? That the remnants of corruption continue to cleave to us. And so often that process of reformation, that process of sanctification, that moving forward in holiness, that comes at cost, at some, if you will, ripping and tearing. But then notice, quicken thou me according to thy word. And so what the desire of the psalmist here is that he would be brought to life. In himself, nothing. But it is through the word of God, then, that men are brought to life. He speaks of his declarations. I have declared my ways. Thou heardest me, teach me thy statutes. And so David is involved here in self-examination. I've declared my ways, that there is no good thing in me, that my soul cleaves to the dust. But notice, the Lord has heard. And so the desire of the heart of the psalmist here is what? Teach me thy statutes. Teach me thy statutes. We often hear that we must broadly separate the law from the gospel in our preaching. But notice that David is asking here for that gracious understanding of the law that leads to Christ. Teach me thy statutes, he says. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Now let's remember that this psalmist here is pretty advanced in his understanding of the word of God. Whatever existed in his day, he seems to have a pretty good grasp on it. And yet notice he's asking for a greater grasp. Teach me the way of thy precepts. Make me to understand. There's a great prayer for each of us to imitate. All right, so then he goes on. He is burdened for his sin. Notice what he says, my soul melteth for heaviness. And then if we could take, strengthen thou me according to thy word as a parenthesis, verse 29, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. So I think the heaviness that the psalmist is speaking of here is the heaviness, the grief of his own violations of the law of God. And there's a proper grief that ought to accompany our sins. We should not be able, as the Lord's people, to sin blithely, even joyfully. There's a heaviness that comes with grieving our Lord. So strengthen thou me according to thy word, grant me thy law graciously. You see how those are A, B, in those two verses there. And so he desires for that gracious application of the law of God. Not the condemning application of it, but the gracious application of it. All right, so then, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Interesting. In our doctrine of election that we've been studying in the morning, David here says, I have chosen. Well, there's nothing wrong with a statement like that in Scripture. We do make those choices, but we must remember that those choices are only opened up to us because of the grace of God. That we would not and could not choose the way of the Lord's commandments, except for His prior choosing of us. As the Apostle John said with regard to loving God, we love Him because He first loved us. And so, yes, make those choices. Choose the way of truth. That's a good example that David sets here. Choose it daily. Choose it hourly. Choose it every day. The way of truth. Recognize that in it, however, that is that new ability that we have been given as the objects of God's favor. Notice, I have stuck to thy testimonies. Oh, that would be the testimony of all of our lives, right? Testimonies there for the judgments, the laws, the statutes of God. And then, O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Pray for that kind of a heart, that enlarged heart toward God and His ways. So that's the first section. The second section, once again, we begin with, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. So there's a commitment there, as well as a desire. He has a desire also to have understanding, that the Lord would direct him to the way of his commandments. He asks that his will might be renewed. Whenever he says, incline my heart, he's asking for that new heart, that new will that accompanies what it means to be created anew, to be born again. Turn my eyes away from vanity. There's a prayer. There's a prayer. Those vain things of this world, they are indeed so distracting to us, so drawing of our eyes away from that which is weighty and glorious. Turn my eyes away from vanity. And then he asks for quickening in the ways of the Lord, that he would be animated, enlivened toward the things of God. He asks for protection from beholding vanity, from emptiness, things that have no worth, that are trivial. And he asks for protection from reproach and also from the fear of reproach. And then he asks that he might be courageous in the things of the Lord, that he might be courageous, that he might have courage. My dear brothers and sisters, we must acknowledge that the Christian life is a life that must be lived courageously. We must put our faith and hope in God and against all those that would rise up against us. And we must do so without fear, courageously. This is a prayer here that we should be praying as well. All right, and then he makes these commitments. I will keep thy law to the end. I shall observe the law with my whole heart. I delight in thy word. I am devoted to thy fear. Fear here means obedience. I receive the judgments of God as good, and I have longed and will long after thy commandments. Those are the commitments that David makes here. Again, good examples. They drive us toward those same commitments. All right, so then the last section, Vav, he asks for assurance in the mercy and salvation of the Lord, that he may have an answer to the one who reproaches him. Again, this is according to courage. Now notice what he says in verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Isn't that interesting that he would say that? Isn't it an interesting thing that he would pray that the Lord would not take the word of truth out of his mouth? My dear brothers and sisters, let's not confess any kind of false neutrality here. Either we're moving ahead or we're moving behind. Either we're moving ahead and God's word is permeating us more and more, or it's being taken away from us. We're losing our grip on it. This is what David prays here, that it would not be taken away from him. Beholding vanity, loving the things of this world, turning away from the ordinances and ways of God, all these things, you know what they do, right? They take the word of God out of our minds, out of our mouths. David prays that that would not happen. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgment. So shall I keep thy law continually. And notice the depth of the commitment, forever and ever. Here. All right, so then notice verse 45. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Oh, no, Pastor Riddell, psalmist must have it wrong here. Liberty? Really? To be under the law of God, that's liberty? That's what liberty is. Liberty is the freedom to obey, the freedom to follow. Bondage is being given over to our own lusts, our own desires. That's what the Scripture describes as bondage. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Then notice, I will speak of thy testimonies before kings and will not be ashamed. Doesn't matter who, right? Top to bottom. We have a competent testimony of our faith in Christ, faith in God. All right, then in verses 47 through the end, he extols, his own heart is pointed toward the commandments of God, and he speaks of them as his delights. He lifts up his hand according to the Lord's commandments or unto those commandments. In other words, they are his rejoicing. And I will meditate in thy statutes. We are indeed undertaking meditation in the afternoons, and we're looking at topics of meditation for deliberate meditation. Notice what the psalmist says here, I will meditate in thy statutes. If we want to understand what the Lord has commanded us more fully, that's what we do. We meditate in the statutes of the Lord. All right, thus ends the reading of Psalm 119, 25 through 48.